Hello, this is UWP Professor George Krueger, and today we're going to take a spin into a Wall Street Journal article that I ran across the other day on Monday, March 9th, 2020, and we talks about Tupperware losing its grip on consumers. Get it? Then the subtitle was Brand Struggles as Parties to Sell Products Fall Out of Favor and E-Commerce Rises. Very interesting. Case study here that I'd like to cover. Lots of good concepts in here, marketing concepts and things to that we can learn from. So first of all, you know, you look at the Tupperware brand. You know, I remember these products as a kid. You know, my mom getting the Tupperware. Then, well, who can ever forget the beautiful plastic box where we put bread in there? Because, you know, like the bag, I guess, wasn't good enough. We put bread in this box and the plastic box, and it helped to keep it more fresh. I don't know where that ever ended up. I think we finally, one of us probably wrecked it or melted it or something. And then I also remember the green lettuce with the spike in the bottom of it that you could put the head of lettuce on the spike, and that would be in the, put that in the refrigerator and help the lettuce to keep longer. I don't know if that worked. And, you know, it was just kind of beautiful products. And the second part of the interesting aspect of Tupperware was the social events that they bought. I mean, these based on a woman target, a woman demographic target. Obviously, you wouldn't want to target men. I mean, you know, I mean, let's face it, men, you know, we're guys. You know, give me a couple of leftover Cool Whip storage units and a Walmart bag, and we're good. You know, hey, you know, okay, I'll wash the Cool Whip out. Okay, fine. I'll go that far for you. As Jeff Foxworthy said, you know, the redneck Tupperware. So women are the targets, and then, you know, these were social events, and you want to support your friends, and it was, and they were fun back in the day. And I also remember some of my friends that would go to these, you know, what do I have to buy? You know, I'm going to buy the minimum. I want to support the party and I want to go see my friends and it's fun. So they were also sold on a business model and a direct distribution model through through dealers, which was very interesting in its day. But of course, the distribution and retailing has changed a lot since then. So when we look at this, let's go through some of the details in the articles. They've been selling for 74 years and the price has dropped since in the last 6 years by 97%. 97% from $96 down to $2.60 in the article. And I checked today and it's a little over $2. So it's dropped even more from there. So this has been a major catastrophe as far as brand value. And one of the quotes in here was, people just don't have the connection with the brand anymore, said the former chief executive, which quite frankly is probably why the former chief executive, you know, that's your job, by the way, is to build the brand connection. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes, too. And they've also had a direct selling distribution model, whether it can remain relevant as customers move to shopping online and socializing has moved from living rooms to apps like Instagram and Facebook and such. Folks, I'm sorry, this is not a new development. These things have been happening for quite a while now. And so Tupperware obviously has to save or has to change their strategies. I like this other quote in here. I don't think a lot of people have time to gather at social Tupperware parties anymore. Again, that's been going on for a long time. Now, a little bit of history about Tupperware, which is kind of interesting. Started in 1946, and chemist Earl Tupper, get it? Tupperware, offered a plastic container with an airtight lid. And the sales took off after they built a network of suburban women to host patio parties and sell the product. So they had kind of cool products, and then they sold them through a unique distribution system. Unfortunately, this distribution system is running out of gas and has been for quite some time. They started off with about 800,000 total active sellers. And usually in these type of businesses, from my experience, you know, it's the classic 80-20 rule. 20% will sell 80%. I would surmise through my experience here that it's probably a 90-10 model. 10% of the dealers sell 90% of the business. But they have 800,000 total in the world, and North America had about 400,000. This has plummeted in the last, since 2009, down to a little over 500,000 total and less than 200,000 dealers. So they've suffered almost 50% decline in dealers, which is, you know, when you have your distribution dropping like that, that really, really hurts. And unfortunately, too, they have not done other distribution models, which quite frankly is the classic example of the innovator's dilemma. When you ride a distribution channel to success, abandoning that distribution channel for others is really, really difficult to do. And less than 5% of their sales occurs outside of their direct selling force. So probably should have done this 10 years ago, but that's, you know, it's easy to sit here and say that. It's tough. Now, another interesting aspect is that the market's actually growing for these type of products. It actually grew to grew from 1.35 billion to 1.44 billion here. So it's actually not a bad market to be in. And they're getting hit, of course, by several trends, including low price competitors at Walmart and Dollar General, etc. And also the price points. So maybe we should dive a little bit into the four P's of marketing at this time. You know, the product, it seems like they lost some of their innovation. They've lost to lower price competitors for routine products. Although when I went on their website, it looked like they had several very cool new products, like grills designed for microwaves. And I thought that was very interesting. And those type of products, quite frankly, are usually better sold D2C, direct to consumer, because retailers, quite frankly, are usually poor at marketing new products. They want to sell what's selling. They don't have time. You know, they don't have time to invest in selling a plasticware product. It just doesn't move the needle for them. I mean, you know, you can't blame them. So they have products and they need to get a little more innovation and they need to get the word out on these products. They're getting beat on their price points at the low end, which I would just concede that market. I would go towards the upper end of the value segment into premium. Here they have a premium name. The distribution or place part of the 4P mix, we had product, price. Distribution is really where they got to make some big decisions. Independent dealers are awesome. They either need to double down on that dealers and do a better job of recruiting dealers and supporting dealers, or just segment the dealers off to the side and go more onto online. This is a real problem in implementation, by the way, a real problem, because as soon as you start selling online, that undercuts your direct sales force, and then they get mad and your sales fall even further. And usually, in my experience, when you change distribution, your increases in one area do not offset your decreases in another. So you're going to have to take some losses for a while on the faith that you're going to be able to increase your new distribution and cover for your old distribution that left you. And, you know, that's a significant issue. And quite frankly, that's, I would surmise, that is why Tupperware did not change when you have a distribution model that is successful for you and you're committed to, and that's all you know. It's very, very difficult to change to a new distribution model. It really is. And then finally, on the promotion side of things, it looks like this area is where they're really falling down on some execution. You know, they got a great brand. I mean, let's face it, when you have a brand that a comedian makes fun of, like a Jeff Foxworthy with the redneck Tupperware, you know, that, I mean, that's gold. So they really do have a great brand. The word needs to get out better on, you know, the products. And also, I see the opportunity here to harness these social networks. So yes, people don't go towards these group gatherings as much, but that doesn't mean that social still can't be used. Now, another thing I'd look at outside of the four P's of product, price, place, and promotion is some of the trends that have been happening, where the trends would hurt or reduce the market for the conventional products or traditional products, but trends can be a threat or they can be an opportunity. So how do we make an opportunity out of this? So there's less cooking at home. Fair enough. How do you improve the cooking at home through these products would be one trend that I would think they could focus in on. Second thing is, storing food. You know, back in the day when Tupperware was rocking and rolling, you know, mom would cook up a big meal and then you'd eat on the leftovers for a few days. Well, you know, we see less leftovers. We don't see the big meals being cooked anymore. I finally think back on some of the science experiments I used to find in our kitchen at home where a container of leftovers would get buried in the back and it would be all sorts of wonderful aromas and strange colors. I wish I would have saved some of those for my later science businesses. I'll bet there were some interesting isolates in there. I won't go into what the isolates are. those type of things don't happen as much anymore, that trend. So you have to be more active. You have to be more of in the moment and create a different set of benefits. And also time. You know, how can Tupperware, instead of being a time-consuming project, how can time be an advantage to you? How do you turn your products into more time? So then what I did was I kind of went, well, let's look at a little digital strategy here. Maybe I'll go on, do a little search. I searched plastic food containers. I did not find Tupperware anywhere. In the first, I went through five pages actually. No five pages. Well, then I said, well, you know, maybe we can get some recommendations here. So I went on the 17 best food storage containers. Zip, biddy doo, da day. Nothing there for Tupperware. So I would say Tupperware needs some PR work here, some content. But then I went to a Tupperware search and a Tupperware site. This is really good. I mean, this is fundamentally very sound. They have new products. They present them effectively. You've got the kitchen tools here, cookware, bakeware. They've got the shop now, Tupperware, and they're still promoting parties, which is fine. They've got the basis here for for success of this brand. I think there's hope on the horizon for Tupperware. It's just going to have to be repositioned. And my prediction is that some sort of company will buy this and then probably, you know, there's these businesses that buy brands that are out of favor and then they restore them. So it's probably not far along enough in the product life cycle here. It probably hasn't hit bottom enough yet. But I would foresee in the next few years, the Tupperware, I think the worst is over. The plunge has happened. And I would see if they could get some of these things fixed. Better promotion on their products, better execution, premium positioning, more with the repositioning the brand, really getting on, really unleashing the hounds, as I used to say, on digital marketing. Obviously, their search is not so good. But the website and their content is excellent. Let's see some opportunities here. And then I want to, as far as I get into some of my conclusions here, I think it really boils down to a relevance issue. You know, Tupperware is getting beat on the low end, which they're never going to win that battle. You know, I just concede the low end Walmart stuff, fine. Where they win is product innovation and branding. I think the dealer network can work. But I think they really have to go after digital and to make things much more relevant. They've got new products. I think these new products could really be the platform, the base for a repositioning and a renewal of the line. The premium positioning they have, they do have unique products, quality products here. So I think there's a lot of things we can learn from the Tupperware case study here. And the difficulty with the innovator's dilemma, and also where how do we actually harness and deal with our new reality of digital marketing. All right, this is George Krueger. Thanks for listening today, and good marketing to you.